to the wrestling podcast that's not just for wrestling fans. This is Smark and Friends on the Two Finger Guns Club Network. My name is Zach, and I'll be your host. This may have popped into your podcast feed as a new episode, but please don't get your hopes up. Back in February, TFGC ran the 28 and 28 campaign, and all episodes that we released that month were released on the 28 and 28 channel. But after our recent episode with wrestler and graphic novel illustrator Andy Belanger, it made sense to migrate this episode into the Smark and Friends feed, because the guest from that episode is someone that Andy worked with very closely both in and out of the ring. Listeners of this show know that I'm a huge IWS fan, and I bring it up at just about every opportunity that I have. And my guest is a staple from IWS both behind the scenes and in the ring, Andrew Stott. On top of a real what's what of commitments in the wrestling world, Andrew is also a comic book writer who has written for WWE Comics from Boom Studios. Stick with us, we're relaunching that episode right after these short messages.
Are you looking for the newest and hottest in the world of pro wrestling? Then check out the amazing action on Powerslam.tv, the biggest indie pro wrestling channel in the world. Get over 6,000 hours of the best events from over 150 of your favorite promotions from 20 different countries around the globe. Brands like Progress Wrestling, Evolve Wrestling, Combat Zone, Defy, PCW Ultra, PWX, Over the Top, Shine, and hundreds of others, with fresh content added every day for only $5.99 per month. Get your free trial today at powerslam.tv.
It's a lovely Sunday afternoon here in Montreal, and I'm recording on Skype. I am chatting with one of the driving forces of the International Wrestling Syndicate out here in Montreal. He's the trainer of the IWS Dojo, as well as one of the executive producers of the show. On screen or in the ring, you might know him as Shane Hawk, Buck Hawk, or Professor H, and I'm welcoming the man behind all those hats and personas, Andrew Stott. Andrew, how you doing?
I'm well, thank you. I don't know how lovely this Sunday is. It's pretty gray and snowy, but we're going to heat it up here and have a good time.
Yeah, you know, it's certainly snowy out here in Dorval, but, like, you know, it's just not so cold as it's been the past couple of days, so I'll take what I can get.
Yeah, I will too.
Oh, man. So this weekend, actually, IWS Praise the Violence is coming to Club Unity, and you got like a really good card and a hell of a main event. How's things coming together there?
I mean, honestly, the way that things have been going with IWS recently, it's been a whirlwind. It's been a real snowballing recently in terms of how much our audience is participating and how our reach is extending. And as we wear all these new hats and produce various different TV shows for two continents now, things are stressful, but they're good stressful, you know?
Yeah.
It's not the kind of thing where I'm dreading going to work. I'm real happy about it. That being said, it's going to be a lot of work, and this is the show week, so there's always that final push right before we actually put on the event, and then it's just executing the game plan.
Yeah, like, I mean, you're talking about a big year for you guys for sure. Like, you're on RDS now, you're on Fight Network, and the IWS library is now on independentwrestling.tv.
That's correct.
Yeah, like, how is that evolving your role as the executive producer?
I mean, so behind the scenes, Peace Be Manny is the IWS owner. He's the CEO. Like, he's the man in charge. But I've taken over quite a few responsibilities as well. Things are going really well. Luckily, Manny and I, we work really well. We're a good team, and we have some 40 years experience between the two of us. So it's become a lot of work, but it's paying off, and it's the good kind of work. It's the kind of stuff that I want to be doing. So as things grow and expand, obviously we have more on our plate, but as a I suppose a masochist who just always has to be working or else I'll implode into a ginger cloud, it's a lot to do. There's a lot to do, but it's like, it's all going well, and I'm seeing the benefits and I'm seeing the payoff in a pretty quick turnaround time, so that keeps me inspired and happy to go to work.
That's excellent, man. That's I'm really happy as a longtime supporter of IWS. This has just been really cool to watch as a fan, seeing the brand grow and such.
Yeah, I'm excited to. Let's get it growing even more, and then I can just delegate all this work to other people and be a rich person on the beach eating bonbons.
So that's what you're up to off screen. On screen, though, you've been causing a little trouble, you and Max Lemire, haven't you?
I wouldn't say trouble. I would say opening some eyes.
Well, it seems you've just taken some exception to cruiserweight wrestlers getting the spot on the card. And what's your mission here with Max?
Well, for one thing, there's no reason that these kids under 5'7" are on the show when a man who can literally pull an airplane by a rope. Like, I'm going to say that again. He can pull an airplane on his own. He doesn't have a spot on the card. I just think, personally, as somebody who's been wrestling for close to 2 decades now, I've seen the way that the landscape has evolved, and I feel that the current generation – I mean, this is an educated guess when I say I feel, but as somebody who's also a trainer, a coach, and who has – I kind of have a horse in both races in that I'm only 31 years old, but I'm a 20-year veteran. And I see the way things used to be, and I see the way things are now, and I just don't think that the work ethic is at the same level when it comes to some of these kids taking things for granted, you know? I like to consider now, I tell people that the current generation is kind of new money. They're the first generation of new money. They're like when your parents were poor and they get rich, and then they have kids. And those kids, they come in at a different baseline, right? They think that having two networks is normal. Whereas somebody like me, who literally sacrificed their entire life and body for this industry and to create this project, I have to now hear about how things aren't fair for them and all this business. And I just can't agree with it. I feel that people are too coddled. So because they are too coddled and people are lazy, I feel that as the professor, I have a lesson to teach, and Max Lemire is the curriculum.
Okay, well, fair enough, man. I understand your driving force here. That's intense.
In the non-serious version of this, I'm my character now is a professional wrestling boomer, but I'm only 30 years old.
Yeah.
Which is where I find the fun play comes to mind there.
For sure.
I do actually, I kind of cut a promo there in character, but to blur the lines a little bit, for example, when I learned how to wrestle, we didn't have a ring set up most of the time. I would bump on concrete. If you got 40 people at a show, that was considered a huge deal, you know? I was touring in the States in 2005, 2006, no, 2007, sorry, 2007, and, you know, I would be on cards with Cesaro and Seth Rollins and all these guys, and you know, and we'd get 40 people and we were happy about it.
Yeah.
There was no industry yet, and now we have built the IWS dojo. Right now has so much equipment into it. I got certified as a personal trainer, so we have workout equipment. There's no reason for people not to be in the ring all the time, and there's no reason for people to be small. It's an aesthetic business, and there's all these resources available. But because all these resources are available and because there's so much success going on everywhere, there are people who are coasting. And as somebody who scratched and clawed to create this platform, that doesn't really sit well with me. So it's a bit of it's a take on how I actually feel, except that I'm not in my real life as Andrew Stott. I want to help coach and craft these people and teach them along the way. Whereas as Professor H, I get to explore the option of beating the hell out of them to learn a lesson, which I don't know. I don't know which one I prefer. I think it might be the Professor H version, but we'll see.
I appreciate you jumping in and out of character there. And you know, as a fan, I think the characters that have always resonated with the fans have been the characters who take their real life identity and values and, you know, of course, turn them up to 10 or 11 or whatever the idiom is. And again, it's been really compelling to watch you and, you know, the world's largest cruiserweight in action. It's really compelling stuff.
Listen, he identifies as a cruiserweight. Who's going to tell him differently?
Not me.
That's what I'm saying. You want to tell him differently? You go up to Max and you tell him. Go see what happens.
I will. Yeah, I think I'll pass there.
No, but, I mean, this guy, Max is a once in a lifetime athlete, right? He that thing about pulling an airplane is real. He actually does. He actually did that in strongman competitions. That's not a gimmick or some kind of like, that's not a work. That's real. The man like just lives and breathes combat sport training. And I've seen the way he diets and I've seen the way he exercises. And it's just, it's scary and inspiring at the same time. But it's the kind of work ethic that I always felt that you need to bring to the table to make it in the professional wrestling industry. You know, it's a very thankless industry. People are always looking to prove that they know more than you do. People are always looking for you to slip up so that they can post about it on Twitter and get some clout or what have you. People, and like everybody is gunning for the same spot. So you have to have that mental toughness and be a self-starter, be able to push yourself along the way. So Max, in terms of how he prepares for just everything, just how he lives his life, is it's very the word I think I'm looking for is old school. I think the word is old school, but I don't want to say like back in my day we did this. That's more the Professor H character. But I do think that with all the resources that have been afforded to this current generation of wrestlers, they should have that work ethic too. And unfortunately, a lot of them don't. Mm. So I'm just going to point it out. That's all. Sure. I'm just going to put it in their face. And if that helps them along, great. And if it doesn't, well, the cream rises, right?
Wise words from the Macho Man, indeed. Well, again, thank you for letting me pick your brain on IWS, but we're doing something a little bit different on this episode. I ran this by you. You know, the spirit of Smark and Friends has always been welcoming uninitiated wrestling fans to kind of indulge in the fandom, explore a little bit, and get the live reaction. Obviously, we're doing something different by welcoming you. I actually wanted to kind of pick your brain about comics.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. So you've actually got a few very interesting writing credits attributed to you through WWE Comics at Boom Studios.
That's right.
And I'd like to, before I jump into all that, I wanted to pick your brain about comics. Like, have you been a comic book fan for a fan of the medium for a long time? And when did you start creating comic content yourself?
Like, I'm a huge nerd. There's just no other way of putting it. I've been a fan of comics my entire life. When I'm explaining professional wrestling to people who are not fans, like people you would have on the podcast, I generally explain it as a live-action comic book that you, as the audience member, are creating the story with the performers because how you react will influence the direct outcome of the story. I'm a huge storytelling nerd. I love everything about storytelling. I even have a bachelor's degree in literature, like that's, and it's completely useless, but hey, it's working out, but like, that's how nerdy I am about it. I have always written, for quite some time now. I've been writing. So I've written for wrestling, promos and whatnot. And then, just random stuff, right. Here and there, short stories. I have like blog posts, all that stuff. I really like language. It's one of my favorite things is diction and word choice and just the etymology of words. I really enjoy them. But how I got into the WWE comics is that Andy Boulanger, who is the artist on the comics and one of my students and one of the best people I know in the world, great guy.
Bob Anger.
Bob the Animal, hilarious wrestler, really hardworking dude, just a good all-around person, other than the fact that he owes me $145, which is an inside joke. So he came to the dojo to learn how to wrestle, and I'm his coach. I taught him how to wrestle. Actually, you know what? Let's go back even further to how I actually met Andy Boulanger, because this actually does influence the story and is kind of serendipitous. So Andy was a fan at Battle War, at Fufuin Electric, and I was wrestling there. I was a Battle War guy for a while. He'd be in the crowd, but we didn't know each other because up until 2 years ago, I was legally blind. So I was a wrestler who wrestled legally blind my entire career.
Holy shit.
So I would see like shape and color. But because I learned to wrestle when I was 12 and I could still see, my eyesight hadn't deteriorated yet, I had so much muscle memory that it was fine, right? but he was a fan. I didn't know who he was. I couldn't even see people's faces in the crowd. But then I started working for Heavy Montreal. And through Heavy Montreal and Eventco, I would get tickets to go see WWE. And WWE came. I think it was a house show that they were doing or something like that. But I went because, you know, hey, like, of course you're going to go. Awesome. And we actually ended up sitting next to each other in the Bell Center. Like, of all the places, we were sitting next, like, seat to seat next to each other. And as the evening progressed, we realized, like, he realized who I was. We just started shooting the shit and talking. And, like, we've been really good friends, really close ever since. But it was just very funny that Andy and I, and the entire Bell Center, which is what, like 20,000 people, we were sitting next to each other. We had gotten those two specific tickets. So it was like kind of a match made in heaven. So he eventually joined the dojo because he's a very passionate guy. He's a big storyteller like I am. He joined the dojo. And about a year later, he was, because he does the Comic-Con circuit, because Andy's like a professional comic book artist, right?
Yeah.
He's drawn for Marvel and DC and Image and all this. And like, he's really, you've seen his work. He's a really talented dude. Mm-hmm. If you're listening to this and you don't know who he is, he's at Eddie Boulanger on most forms of social media. But he was at, he was in a Comic-Con, and Boom, had been pitched by WWE to do a series of comic books. Because they do all the licensing stuff, right? So like Power Rangers and Star Wars and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And he was there. And while he was there, the editor approached him and was like, "Hey, you wrestle, right?" He was like, "Yeah, hell yeah, I wrestle." And he's like, "Well, we have this WWE comic. We're going to be, you know, producing a bunch of different shorts to be put into this WrestleMania special." And he asked if, the guy asked Andy if he wanted to do one, and Andy did. And the story they wanted was about Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn.
Right.
Because they're Montreal guys. And so he hit me up about it and asked me, "Hey, like, would you be interested in doing a script for this comic book?" Because I grew up with Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens in the business, right?
Right.
Like, Kevin Owens' first show outside of Rougeau was also my first indie show. and Sami Zayn is one of my trainers in the IWS originally, along with Beef Wellington. So I've had a pretty unique way of seeing into their actual history and being able to make a story out of it. So Sami Zayn loves Archie comics. And so we decided to do the art style in the vein of Archie comics of Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn growing up together it was creatively liberal, right? It's not the actual story of what happened, but no. There's 10 pages of like a fictionalized version of them being friends as kids and growing up together. And then as a little wink, Andy and I actually put ourselves in the comic book.
Mm-hmm. I noticed that. Yeah.
Yeah. And we put IWS's logos in there too. They're only half logos, but you can see that they're there.
Those who know, know.
That's exactly it. Right.
Yeah.
So it was like a nice Easter egg. So that book did really, really well. That was the first WrestleMania special. I think it was the 2017 or 2018 one, but they loved the script that we did. And then when Andy put his art to it, it was magic. So they asked us to do more stories, and we ended up doing, before the run ended, I think we did 5 or 6 stories, a couple of 10 pagers. We did a 10 pager on Undertaker and Kane.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really proud of it because it tells the story of how Taker and Kane were kids in the funeral home leading to the fire that like scars Kane.
Right.
Which was a huge storyline when I was growing up. So to be able to like fill in those details for like the side canon, was really, really cool. It was a super fun experience. We did one on Roman Reigns, during the Roman Reigns and Braun Strowman feud, where Braun Strowman is literally a monster, like who lives in the side of a cave, and Roman is a knight in shining armor shield who's coming to save the village. Fantasy kind of vibe. We did one that I unfortunately never saw print, that maybe one day we'll get it out there, but I thought this was the strongest pitch of them all, which was Brock Lesnar Time Beast, in which the Conqueror goes back in time to conquer other conquerors.
Like
so
Kang.
yeah, you went back to like ancient Celtic times and fought an ancestor of Sheamus, and then like went back to old Viking times and fought an old Triple H. And I really like that. He used Chris Jericho's wormhole from his Y2J millennium character to go back in time and to fight people, which I thought was a very, very strong script. And hopefully someday it'll come out. But from there, we've been working together, collaborating on other projects that are in the works that should be coming out relatively soon. So I can't really discuss what they are.
Okay.
But I am – they're not WWE comic books. And they're not like any of the alphabet companies. It's not an industry book. But I'm loving it, honestly. I love comic books as a medium. I still read them all the time. A lot of the time at work, like I have two monitors at work, and I'll have comics open on one and be doing my work on the other one. I'm an avid reader. I love the idea of colorful clothing. I like that in comic books, in narratives, we're able to resolve things in a just and fair way that we might not necessarily see in the real world. I like playing with genre and form and stuff like that too. So like in terms of the comic books, it's really been a leveling up and like a feather in my cap. So now I have I have the comic book credits to my name. I'm the lead writer for multiple TV shows. I helped produce Shakara's film Ashes back in the day. So like I have pretty much every kind of credit available on my CV right now. I've been very lucky to be able to be in the situations that I'm in. Like, for example, with Andy and I sitting next to each other, like that's pure luck. Right.
Mm-hmm.
I had the skill to back it up. However, I've gotten quite a few opportunities that have just blown my mind, and I'm just very, very thankful for. And now I will teach people how to tell these stories, and I think that's going to be my legacy, and I'm okay with that. I'm cool with that.
That's really awesome, man. That's like a real, like, it's amazing how much has spiraled out, as you say, like of just this chance seating arrangement at the Bell Center. That's wild.
It's crazy.
Yeah. I would love to pick your brain more on like this project that you have coming up in the works, but I totally respect, non-disclosure, mum's the word on it.
That's exactly what it is. So, yeah. And also like, I don't like talking about projects until they're guaranteed to be coming out.
Sure. Yeah.
But we have plenty to discuss anyway. It's like my litany of other writing projects are all on the table.
Fair, so fair. I would actually like to bring you back to the Kevin Owens Sami Zayn comic, as it's titled in the WrestleMania special. I believe it's called the Kevin Owens comic.
That's right.
Cool. So like Sami and Kevin, it's no secret their history is extensive.
Yeah.
Like, it's wild how much time and effort has been put into telling this story that like. Like what they're doing in WWE is great and it stands on its own too. But like, if you go back into their history, you realize that everything that they're doing now is informed by all that past, which is just, it's just wild. I have to ask, like, you know, you had to summarize all that to 10 pages. I wanted to know if there was something that's like on the cutting room floor that you kind of regret there.
So not so much that I regret, but there is one thing that I wish that I had been able to do. Because we pitched to Boom like a whole slew of different ideas, and they really wanted it came back from WWE that they really wanted the comic to culminate in that big ladder match they had at WrestleMania for the IC title,
mm-hmm.
Which was not originally what I wanted to do. I wanted to end it on Kevin's NXT debut when he turns on Sami, and that's in the book as well. But WWE really definitely wanted it to be. That WrestleMania ladder match, which is understandable. It's the WrestleMania issue, right? So that's fine.
Yeah.
But one thing that I really wish that I could have included a little bit more of was their time spent on the indies. It was very touch and go that like we couldn't, for example, say Ring of Honor or anything like that because it's not the same company. So I would have touched more on that, and specifically the Fatal 4-Way match that they had at CCW. With Kevin, Sami, Sexy Eddie from the IWS, and XS from the IWS.
Yep.
Now, the reason that, like, the linchpin that got Montreal noticed and started getting our guys booked everywhere was that in CCW's Tournament of Death, I think it was 03 or 04. I don't remember which one it was, but basically Sexy Eddie, he gets his arm gashed way open and he flexes his arm on camera.
Yes, I know.
Yeah, it arcs blood into his mouth.
Yep.
And this goes like the equivalent of viral. So they brought Eddie and XS, who at the time was probably the best wrestler in Quebec. Like, dude was jacked to the gills. He was like, he was hitting fallaway slam moonsaults before it was cool.
Right.
And then Kevin and Sami Zayn, and they had a four-way. And it got this huge welcome, like, please come back chant, and it got a lot of steam, so they, like, did one at Jersey All-Pro. But that fatal four-way match that they did really put Montreal Wrestling on the map, and I would have really liked to include that in this fictionalized retelling of their careers, but because it wasn't really, like, relevant to WWE, to that narrative, we didn't get to, like, it didn't make sense, right, to put it in there. But now, for IWS on the TV show, we have XS and Sexy Eddie feuding, and it's just, there's a ton of callbacks to that fatal four-way, in that XS has his comeback for his son, and he sees how Sexy Eddie got all that attention, never really did anything with it, internationally anyway. And like that's also not necessarily true, because Eddie is clearly he's a legend, right, in the industry, but he's not a multimillionaire, and XS wants his son to be a multimillionaire. If only he had made the right moves back in the day, his son, XS could have been in WWE, could have been in that position, because he was better than them. But, you know, there was roadblocks there. He didn't speak English and didn't really learn properly. And he was kind of hot-headed. But he made some mistakes along the way that could have got him to that level. And now he wants his son to get to that level, which is why he's back. There's so much opportunity now in wrestling. And Junior's a hard worker. He works his butt off. He comes to the dojo all the time. Don't get me wrong. But Eddie is still doing largely the same thing that he used to do. And that's not me trying to be negative about it in any way, right? Like, Eddie loves to have fun. He loves the crowd.
Yeah.
And XS hates that, because loving fun and loving the crowd means that you never became a millionaire like Kevin and Sammy. So they're having a feud on the television show in IWS right now, and it largely revolves around XS wanting to end Eddie's career so that he can't have a negative influence on Junior, his son. And that all stems from that fatal four-way match they had way back in the day. So it would have been like a cute little Easter egg for me, I think, and definitely something I could have used in promoting this story that we're working on now. But that was such a historical moment in Montreal wrestling history that I would have really liked to be able to at least wink at it in a way. But we got IWS in there, and I got me in there. So, like, you can't win them all, right?
Yeah.
But that would be the one scene, I think, that I would have really liked. We also only had 10 pages to work with, right? Which, like,
yeah,
in comics is not that much, because, like, you talk about a splash page and boom, one of your pages is gone. You're down to 9 pages.
Mm-hmm.
And the way Andy works, gave me advice. Because we have this pretty cool relationship where, like, I'm a veteran in wrestling and he's in wrestling breaking in, and then he's a veteran in comics and I'm kind of breaking into comics. So, it, like, we have this pseudo mentor-mentoree relationship, but the power dynamic is inverted in these two industries. But he always says to me, like, don't put too many panels on a page. It sucks for the artist. And by that he means, like, 9-plus panels, because he's told me he's gotten scripts where the guy is putting, like, or the author, the writer, the script writer, is putting on like 12 to 15 panels per page, which is just, I'm sure that's a nightmare for him, the way that he described it anyhow. It's just, so I only had a limited number of panels and pages to tell the story. And I had to hit all the beats that WWE wanted and Boom wanted, right? So it wasn't a scene that was bare bones, meat and potatoes necessary to the narrative, so we cut it. But maybe one day we'll revisit that sometime. It's still in the chamber. And maybe, like, WWE canceled the series, but maybe one day it'll come back and we'll get to do something with it. But that, I think, would have been the main one. Also, me wrestling either of them just to, like, put myself over.
Yeah.
But, like, I was writing this for a product. This was not for me. So
yeah,
that got cut, too, unfortunately.
Another arc where you get your shit in.
Yeah, exactly. So when I was, I think I was, like, 15 at the time. 15 or 16, I wrestled Kevin Owens one-on-one in Saint-Jean, sur Richelieu, for MWF, which was the Montreal Wrestling Federation, but then they realized they never ran shows in Montreal, so they just were MWF. The acronym became the name, and my dad had come to that show, and Kevin beat me so mercilessly that my dad legit, like, was getting up to get into the ring to, like, defend his son, and like Kevin had to like work me over to him on the outside, so he'd be like, "Dad, it's fine, it's okay." But that would have been fun to put in as well. Yeah. My dad getting up to beat up Kevin Owens, I'm sure he would have got a kick out of that.
Oh man, that's really funny.
Yeah, my dad was like pissed. Like, Kevin wasn't like, he wasn't taking liberties or anything, right? He was just chopping the shit out of me, and like, I have a real white skin, I'm super pale, so like the slightest contact lights me up real red. People love chopping. But we got him, we got my dad that night.
Oh, too funny.
Yeah, that would be fun to put in.
So like, on top of the Sammy and Kevin story, you've also done, yeah, like you said, Undertaker and Kane. There's also like a Jake Roberts short, which I really enjoyed. Did you ever get any like feedback or reactions from the wrestlers that you've written about?
So I actually asked both Kevin and Sammy about it. Neither one of them ever got back to me about it.
Oh, no.
I assume because they're busy multimillionaires and, like, are busy doing other things. And now so much time has gone by that I'm not going to, like, walk up to Sammy when I see him and be like, so, you read that book from 4 years ago? I did give a copy of, the Jake Roberts comic to Jake Roberts. I don't think that he's read it. If he has, I don't think he even remembers it's me. Like, we brought him into the dojo before. We've had Jake Roberts, like, comedy shows.
Oh, right, that's true. I forgot about these. That's the, yeah.
Yeah. Like, he's been around a bunch, and, like, IWS has co-promoted many of these events. And he, like, he'll wear the IWS t-shirt that we gave him, but does not remember me at all. Like, any time that I see this guy, he has no idea who I am. And, like, why would he, right? We've only met a couple of times.
Sure.
But it's just very funny when you know somebody, you've worked with them several times, and then they're like, they big league you, and they're like, hey, I'm Jake. And I'm like, yeah, I know. Thanks. But yeah, those are the only ones. Like, I did not get to approach Undertaker and Kane about that comic. Although maybe one day Mayor Glenn will respond to my tweets. Or the Undertaker can go on the Stone Cold podcast and talk me up.
There you go. I mean, Undertaker's like got an Instagram now, which is like one of the wildest things that's really ever happened to the internet. So who knows? Maybe it'll show up in his feed sometime soon.
Like, I mean, we've always tagged them in those things, right? But like, these people, like, these guys get so many tags and all that stuff. Like, I didn't really expect anything from it, you know?
Yeah.
I think, like, the closest was that, I think, like, Braun Strowman might have, like, posted a panel of the art or something.
Fair.
I'm not sure if I remember this properly or not. I've had 9 concussions. but, like, I think that was the closest we got to it. Or, like, he liked one of Andy's tweets or something or whatever.
Hey, it's a start.
It's like, yeah, okay, cool. You like that, Braun? Awesome. and that's it. So no real fun stories for that.
Fair.
It was really only writing team people who contacted me about it. Like Robert Evans, R.D. Evans, who was a writer at WWE. I think he's doing other things now. He hit me up about it, asking me how I had gotten the job, because he had applied internally at WWE and I had gotten instead. He was like, so you want to know about that? Why did I get it? But other than that, it just, no wrestlers or anything. It was just all writing staff. Like the intern who would look it over would write back and say like, hey man, this rules. This is a great comic, great script. I'm like, yeah, thanks, bud. Get the paycheck and, get out of here.
Right.
Yeah, no, nothing like that.
Okay, that's fair. Well, you know, let me hit you on with one last question about comics here.
Yeah.
And that's if you could write the story of IWS for a graphic novel. Now we could be talking very literal story, the bones of it, or we could be talking about a sensationalized version. I leave that at your discretion. Who would be the four main characters, and who or what would be the antagonist?
Wow, that's a good question.
Might be a little loaded. I don't mean to put you on the spot or anything.
No. This is much better than the fluff that I usually get in these interviews. That's a really fun question.
There we go.
Now I have to think about this. All right, so first, before I say anything, I'm reserving the right to change my mind as soon as I think about other things.
Absolutely.
I'm on the spot here, right?
Yeah.
But I think, okay, so you said four main characters and antagonists.
Yes.
I don't think I would have to sensationalize anything.
Okay.
In the 20-year history of the IWS, so many ridiculous things have happened that, we could tell maybe a handful of these stories and people would not believe it. I mean, get out of here. That never happened. Main characters, though. All right, so PCP Manny has to be right all up in there. I mean, he started the company. He's the main boss. So, if we're going to go with a protagonist, and I don't – by protagonist, I mean person moving the story along, not the hero character.
Mm-hmm.
That's PCP Manny for sure. I think I have to be involved in there as well. I have been in IWS since I was 12 years old, and I have worked my way up to basically number two, a vice president of the company role, and I've been with IWS the entire time. So, myself, I think Sexy Eddie has to be in there for sure. Oh man, this question is hard. Because I want to put the Green Phantom in there too, because Green Phantom has been synonymous with the IWS since day one, right?
Right, yeah.
But then I also want to put in, the Beef Wellingtons. I want to put in 3.0. I want to put in Bucks Belmar and Speedball Mike Bailey. All right, so antagonist.
Well, maybe it's more of, an ensemble piece.
It would have to be, you know?
Okay.
If I was going to write the IWS graphic novel, I think that it would be more of a collection of stories with an overarching narrative than it would be just one – following one character, you know?
Sure.
We would have to get the entire, it would have to be an Avengers movie. It couldn't be, a Captain America movie. That, we could do the spinoff afterwards. But there's just been so much in there. I guess we could make IWS, the company itself, the main character.
Mm.
Have you seen Requiem for a Dream?
Yep.
Years ago. I wrote a paper on that in university, where I said that the protagonist of the movie was death itself, that the antagonists are the characters trying to stay alive. Because again, protagonist moves the story along, doesn't necessarily mean that they're the hero of the story, and antagonist is trying to stop the progression. So I named death as the protagonist. I got an A, so not to toot my own horn. But anyway, IWS itself, I think, could be a pretty solid main character. It's a really good question. Now, antagonist, the problem with me answering that kind of question is that, if I name an individual, it's going to sound political, right? It's going to sound like I'm trying to, shit talk somebody, which is not my...
Good point, and I certainly didn't mean to take the question in that direction.
Which I understand. I'm just it's the context of IWS, I could think of people who could play villains, but also I don't want to give them lip service on a platform that I have. That being said, an antagonist. I guess, I would probably create... Okay, so I guess it would be kind of stylized. I would think that I would probably create another company to be the opposite of IWS and to kind of war with it. And then combine the stories of various feuds that we've had over the years, with different wrestling companies. One that I can really think back to that stands as a feud was back in the day. There was this company called CWA, run by Andy Rossetti, and their whole purpose was they ran the same dates as IWS. They wanted to put them out of business.
Mm.
And IWS is still around. There are a lot of companies who will kind of go to war with IWS over various reasons. Some of them valid, some of them not at all, obviously. But sure. IWS, I feel, is pretty clearly the top dog in Montreal wrestling.
I agree, yeah.
And any time that you are on top of something, you're going to have other people who want to bring you down because they want to be on top. That's just human nature, right? And then there'll be jealous people and there'll be haters and all those things, right? I think I would combine, maybe make an amalgamation of various, oh, maybe like a brotherhood of evil mutants, but of like evil promoters who are trying to tear down the IWS from the inside or whatever. I can't think of a single individual who's even worthy of being called antagonist. You know what I mean?
Gotcha.
Like I think it would have to be a concept. And one of the big concepts that I think IWS has struggled with is our talent being so good that they eventually move on other places.
Mm.
And I think every indie company has that, of course. But if you look at the amount of people in IWS who have moved on to so Kevin and Sammy, we mentioned, Big Magic and Scott Parker, who's now Chase Parker, they're signed to NXT. The Super Smash Brothers are in AEW.
Mm-hmm.
This is the Dark Order stealing my gimmick.
oh no.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I've called Evil Uno out on that entirely. It's not him. He's not writing the script, but like, I'm just saying my company is called the Order of the Red Hand.
Okay.
And my literal logo is a red hand in the shape of like what their new taunt is.
Oh.
So as a joke, I hit him up and I was like, you know that, so you're the Dark Order. My order here is red. So that means that I get to be Dark Order Wolfpack, right? And
do you have like a rap version of your theme song to rival their own?
I think I could do a solid Conan to the Dark Order theme. I don't know. Yeah, but where was I going with this? Yes, so that we lose talent. That's the wrong word to say, because like we want them to do well, you know. But like the Speedball, for example, you know, he's all over the place. He's in Japan, and I think one of the like telling a coherent narrative is a lot harder when your main character can move on and happens as much as it does. So like, for example, in WWE, you get 10 years of the same top baby face. And that can be like repetitive to some people, but in storytelling terms, it makes your life a lot easier. Other than that, yeah, people moving on, which is, I don't say that as with any kind of bitterness or anything like that, or animosity, right? I say that in terms of like, it's harder to tell that story through injuries and through booking cancellations and all these things. I think booking cancellations would be my main
attempt. Just like the specter of canceled bookings.
Man, that's just sometimes like there was one show last year where 8 people canceled the day of the show.
Fuck.
Yeah. And like, so now it's gotten to the point where as somebody who writes for wrestling, I don't finalize my card until maybe 2 or 3 days before the show because I'm expecting cancellations. And this system now works for me, unfortunately. Well, fortunately or unfortunately, however you want. It kind of just is what it is. It's just the nature of the game, right? Like guys get hurt or girls miss their bus or whatever. Like it happens. Yeah, missed bookings, injuries, definitely. Yeah, see, like these are all abstract concepts. So maybe these abstract concepts take like human form of somehow, like they get personified and that's who we feud with. But yeah, I can't give anybody the nod to like being primary villain to IWS, you know?
I gotcha.
People will, like, we always have those haters and stuff like that, but I really don't want to pay attention to them, you know? I'll do my own thing over here, and I'll keep doing it well, and you can be somewhere else talking shit about me all you like, but end of the day, we're still on top for a reason, so it is what it is. Man, that's a really good question, though. Now I want to make an IWS prime villain.
And I want to read the result of all of this impromptu brainstorm.
Well, you know what, man? Just to let you know, spoiler alert, we're going over.
Oh, man. I was looking forward to reading that.
No, man. Yeah, that's it. We're not lying down for any abstract concepts in the IWS. That's for sure. We're hardcore, brother.
Damn straight. Well, again, thank you so much for having this conversation with me. Whatever it is that you have under wraps, like, please tell me as soon as you can, because I want to read that too.
I'm happy to do that. Like, believe me, I'll be spamming my social media when I do have it, because, like, that's the only reason I use social media anymore.
Excellent. Speaking of social media, where can the audience follow you?
Yes, plugged. Excellent.
Yeah.
I am on the Twitter machine and the Instagrams at Superstar Hawk, and that E at the end of Hawk is important. So Superstar, like the word, and Hawk with an E at the end.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on Facebook as Andrew David George Stott. I have four names, which are actually my names. And I have that because there are so many Andrews around that, like, people would just search Andrew and have to go through, like, 30 different people before they could add me. So now that I have four names, nobody else does, and, like, it's easy. But, yeah, you can find me at Andrew Stott there. Please check out at IWS Hardcore on Twitter and the Gram. Let me also plug our sponsors here, because that's something I have to do now. NutriZone and, of course, Prohibition. Go check them out online, and they'll hook you up with some sweet stuff. And then our TV shows, RDS 2, Lutte au Québec, of course, with Ring of Honor. And then we're on the Fight Network, Canada-wide, as IWS Bloodstream. We'll be premiering in the United States soon as well, and we're on the Fight Network UK. We were recently retweeted by Fight Network Italy, so I think we're on in Italy too. I know that on the live sat, they broadcast it across the European Union, so that's pretty cool. But yeah, look it up. I have a pro wrestling tees store also under Shane Hawk. There's one shirt there. I get like $8 when I sell a shirt, so, like, hey, if you want to buy me a coffee, that's great. And then I think I hit it all. I hit the plugs there. I hit all my various social medias. I do not have TikTok. I probably won't get it, so don't bother looking. I'm sure everybody's scrounging and running at the chance to add me on the TikToks, but sorry to disappoint. And other than that, IWS Trading Center, of course, on Facebook and on the Gram. As mentioned, I am the head trainer of the IWS Pro Dojo. We've been going 5 years strong now. And the first lesson is free. So if you'd like to see what it's like and see if you have what it takes to get into the ring itself, you can message us directly. You can message me personally or the IWS page, and we'll set you up with a free trial session. We have plenty of very, very competent coaches who can help you get to the next level.
Dude, amazing. Again, thank you so much for this conversation. This was great.
Yeah, thanks. My pleasure, man. Thank you for letting my old brain rant for a little bit and, like, validating that I haven't wasted my life watching people play fight. Appreciate that.
Of course, man. Of course. Not at all. I mean, that's cathartic for me, too. I don't want to feel like I wasted spending all this time just watching as well.
Yeah, right? Like, I mean, I've been in wrestling more years on this world than I have not, right? Like, I'm 31 years old. I've been in wrestling for 18 years now. My career is legal at this point. So I've spent more time in wrestling on this earth than not in wrestling.
Okay.
So, right? So it's I call it an abusive relationship, really. it's an addiction, you know? Hey. And when wrestling is good, it's the best. It really is the best when it's good. And when it's bad, it's the absolute worst. With that being said, I've been able to tour the world with good friends, telling stories, having fun, getting experiences that many people will not get to, unique experiences, and doing what I love. And I'm very thankful for that. I very much am. Now, let's get that TV show popular enough so that I can quit my day job. And like I said, go to the beach and eat bonbons and be a rich person. But even if I did get to that point, I think I would still be involved in wrestling, because there's just so much more that, even after 18 years, there's so much more to do, and there's so much more fun to be had, and there's so many more barriers to break down. And hopefully by the time it's over, I'll have left the wrestling world a little bit better than it was before I showed up. But that still remains to be seen.
Oh, I think you will, sir. You already have a hand in teaching an amazing pool of talent. So,
yeah, there's some good guys.
You have so much more to offer than just that, but there's that too. So that's huge.
Yeah. Now, if only any of those students would take care of their wrestle dad in his old age.
Hint, hint, guys.
Yeah.
All right, dude. Thanks once more, and I look forward to seeing the show this Saturday.
Yeah, right on. This Saturday, guys. Club Unity, IWS, Praise the Violence. Tickets are still available, although by the time this airs, they might be sold out. So if you're hearing this and you have a chance, go to iws.ticketleap.com. $10 for this full show. Main event is going to be a ladder match between Speedball Mike Bailey and Matt Angel for the IWS world title, and I am looking forward to seeing that demolition derby.
Fuck me too, man.
Yeah, it's going to be gross. I love hate watching ladder matches because I bumped on those ladders and it sucks. But at the same time, it's so fun. So please check us out online and please get your tickets now. They're only $10. They might not be available day of the show. So if you wait, you might not get to see it. And most of our shows are way more than $10. So this is kind of a special treat for the fans. So if you've ever been on the fence about coming to check out a live wrestling event or the International Wrestling Syndicate, this is the time to do it, and I do not want you to miss out.
And neither do I. It's a great show.
Right on.
Cheers.
Take care. Bye.
I'm going to be honest with you all. Usually with this show, I'm able to just kind of lean on the fact that it's a watch-along podcast and just kind of rely on the banter that falls out of watching a wrestling match with somebody. This time I was very much out of my element, having a full-length interview with Andrew, and I was super nervous going in, but dude, Andrew is such an easy guy to talk to, very cool, this was just an awesome conversation, and I couldn't have been happier with how it turned out. Andrew, once again, thanks for being a part of the show. Bit of a non sequitur, Andrew brought up the fatal four-way match between Kevin Steen, El Generico, Sexy Eddie, and XS at Combat Zone Wrestling. We actually watched that match in an earlier episode of Smark and Friends last season. It was our Christmas special, in fact. So if you want to watch that match along with us, head back to season two. Get ready to queue up that Power Slam subscription of yours after you've signed up for free. Wink, wink. It's a great match, and I watched along with the WrestleManiacs, which is a cover band that often plays at the IWS shows. So it's a fun episode, and I really invite you to check it out and watch that match, because, damn, like Andrew said, hell of a match, and really, really opened the doors for the Montreal indie scene. Thank you again for tuning in. Please give us a follow at Smark and Friends on both Twitter and Instagram. Also follow the Two Finger Guns Club on Twitter and Instagram. Of course, you got to be following the 28 and 28 campaign. Follow the TFGC Presents 28 and 28 wherever you catch your podcast to get a brand new podcast every single day of the month. We're having fun. It's a lot of work, but it's so rewarding. Couldn't be happier with how this month is going. Once again, shout out to our partners at Power Slam TV. Give them a follow on Instagram and Twitter. And if you like what you're hearing, please, please give us a kind rating and review over on Apple Podcasts. Thanks for listening. I usually say thanks for watching wrestling with me and my friends, but that's, of course, not at all what we did today. We're going to see you later on this month for 28 and 28.
This episode hosted by the one and only Zach from Smark and Friends, produced by Tina Lollum, with special guest Andrew Stott of IWS.
This has been a Two Finger Guns Club production. Pew, pew.